Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. My name is Toad. Today we're sitting down with Court Carpenter as he makes his way through Stoney's Rockin' Country right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We sat down and talked to gambling, country music, off time, you know, going to the movies by himself and stuff, kid shit, and so much more. Let's get to know Court Carpenter.
You're falling all over me. Nowhere I'd rather be.
Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. Today, Mr. Court Carpenter, you finally made it to Stoney's Rockin' Country.
Finally.
2020, I was looking at it not too long ago. We had you on the books to play here, and some little bullshit thing called COVID happened.
Yes, sir. And, man, we were so stoked to come down. And like you said, it's, what, four years
just
later.
About 4 years, yeah.
But we've been itching to get back, and I appreciate you having us.
Hell yeah, dude. It's going to be fun tonight. You've been to Vegas before. I believe I heard you say earlier you played over at Losers and stuff like that.
You mean play? Yeah. Been here many times. Played a couple spots in Vegas.
What's your favorite thing to do in Vegas?
I like to play slot machines.
Slot machines.
Yeah, I'm a slot guy.
You're a slot guy. Like video poker or the reels?
Reels. I like video or like bonuses and like, you know, you look at the whatever game it is, if it has a good bonus, I'm all for it.
Do you play Buffalo?
I did today actually. I think I won about like, $100 on
it. It's like pennies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it your first time playing it?
No. But I can do that. It always says Buffalo.
Yeah. You know? My favorite thing about that game, it seems like everyone who plays it for the first time, they win.
Yeah.
And that's, I think there's some sort of thing there that goes, they like scan your eyes and go, has this guy played before? And then they suck you in.
It's funny that you mentioned Buffalo because I saw a ticket sticking out of the thing today.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's someone left it. I went over there, it was $160 or something. And I sat down at the machine. I thought, someone's going to come back for this. I'm going to sit with it until someone comes back. Very tempting, you know, you get a $160 ticket, but the lady came back and I gave it to her. So
nice.
Good karma, I hope.
That is good karma. I went to the bank one time and inside the it was a drive through. And when I went to go put my money in, the thing was filled with cash.
Oh, really?
Filled with cash. And you're just like, well, you got to make that call. There's someone in town here that went to the bank and did the same thing. And there was like 10 grand outside.
Wow.
He called 911. I'm like, pretty nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, no one would have ever known.
No.
Like, really?
Yeah, it's a tough call, so hopefully the good karma comes back.
Well, I think karma floats its way around pretty damn good. That's all I got to say. We're just talking about something, and I believe in karma. I think if you throw it out good, you get back in good.
Same.
It's a big deal. Where'd you grow up?
From the Pacific Northwest. I'm up from a small town called Kelso, Washington.
Okay.
It's right above about 45 minutes north of Portland, and loved growing up there and loved the Northwest, and now I live in Nashville for the last 11 years.
What got you into music? Is it people in your family play? Or?
So that's a good question.
That's why I asked it.
Yeah. So I was a three-sport athlete for my whole life. Played Division I college baseball. And after baseball, had an opportunity to, you know, potentially get picked up for some pro stuff. Got in a car accident. Started looking for a job after that because I missed the opportunity.
I'm done with baseball.
Yeah, and started singing locally back home in some bars, and it kind of just blew up. It just started snowballing in the right direction. I said, well, hey, let's give it a try.
So in bars, you're doing country music?
Yeah.
Because that was like that's your thing? You love country music?
I've loved country since about 10 or 11 years old. My friend going to a basketball tournament had a George Strait CD in. And I'll never forget, his mom put it in, and ever since that day, I'll never forget it.
That's your thing.
I love the stories, and I love all decades of country. You know, I know.
There are some changes going on in
definitely
country music.
Changes, yeah.
I think that there's been some artists out there that said that they should open up the genre of country into multiple different genres of country. But I think that, I mean, you could like and somewhat say that it's telling a story kind of like rap does. It's just a different beat.
Yeah.
There's a kid that I know, his name is Renee, and he tried to sell me on this whole idea that there's the only difference between rap and country is the beat. That's it. And like if you really tear it down, it's pretty much, well, not all rap songs are telling a great story, but
sure.
But they're still telling a story.
Yeah.
It's not much different. And a lot of the kids, I mean, I don't know why they relate to it so much because the stories are drugs and hoes. And So I guess that's what's cool about it.
You just throw a little banjo and some
all right, call it and a fiddle.
There you go.
And a fiddle. Who's been like an artist that you've gone out on the road with or opened for or something like that you've absolutely loved?
So we've opened for a lot of guys at different festivals or venues. One of the memorable ones that I could say is that Rock the South in Alabama. We got to play the main stage there twice. Somehow we, you know, sneaked in there as an unsigned artist, and
right.
you're up there with Sam Hunt, and FGL was hopping at the time, and Dustin Lynch, all those guys. But when you're opening the show, you don't really get to interact with them. I did see Sam Hunt that show.
Sure.
And it was kind of cool. We got a chat for, you know, a couple seconds. But other than that, Watershed Festival out yeah. in the Gorge, we were on the next from Nashville stage in 2019, right before COVID. And that was a thrill since that's my home state. But
heck yeah. It's kind of funny that works. I would say that one of the last years of Root that was here, Dylan Scott was on the next from Nashville stage. Aaron Lewis was on it. And you just like sit back and like a lot of these guys are, oh, Luke Combs was on it. Now they're all monsters.
Yeah.
It's funny. I like to tell the story. Luke Combs played here in 2016. He opened for Corey Smith and paid him $500.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I don't think you can buy a damn concert ticket for $500.
No. And you know, right when he blew up, I think it was 18. We got to play with him and Brantley on the Brantley cruise. So there was like eight artists. And
right.
We were on 4-day cruise with them, which was cool.
That's kind of cool. I actually met Sam Groh via a cruise. One of the regulars here went on the cruise, said, I need to know this guy. And they introduced me to his manager. And I started talking to Brad. And then those things are kind of neat, though. I mean, if you think yeah. about it, because they probably go there. The people that go on the cruise, they go there for the bigger artists. But, I mean, yeah, you guys get to really spend time with them.
It was an opportunity to, like, interact face-to-face. And, you're stuck on a boat.
Sure. So, where else are you going to go?
So they're like, let's party. And we're like, all right. And, like, Tyler Booth, if you know that name.
Yep, he's played here before.
Yeah, he was on that lineup with us.
And Mr. Mullet.
Yeah, great dude. But, yeah, that was a memorable time, too, for the band. I think all these guys except Alex, who's with us this time, he wasn't there, but... memorable for sure.
Are these guys that are in your band, are they from your hometown or did you meet them in Nashville?
So Tyler Slosson's been with me for 11 years and he's from Houston. And really quick story, him and I met on Craigslist. We always tell people that. Now, not we weren't seeking.
What is that? Yeah.
Seeking or whatever.
Rendezvous. Yeah.
Back when we moved to Nashville, there was no, that was the place you go to get musicians.
Sure, yeah.
And then Facebook groups came out and stuff. Now it's all on that, but for new people. But he's been with me for 11 or 12 years. And
does he play with other bands or just you?
He plays with Trent Harmon when he was touring.
Right.
He does fill in with other bands, though. Tyler's a great player. So.
Did you do some time on Broadway?
Still do.
Still do.
Yeah. We've been down there for 10 years or so, but we do a lot of festivals when we can get on the lineup, theater stuff, clubs, Chicago, Florida, you know, Floribama. So we get around, and then when it's not tour season, we, you know, grind it out.
What place do you play there?
In Nashville?
Yeah.
We've done them all, basically, like, except just a couple of new ones. But
what do you do now? Like, what's your home there?
Right now, we're at Whiskey Row.
Yep.
Dirk's spot. We love that one. And we're also dabbling with... Whiskey River, which is a really nice club. It used to be Rock Bottom Brewery.
Okay.
But they redid it. Great. One of the biggest stages in Nashville for like Broadway. It's a really nice sound and stuff, but
it's kind of interesting. So, you know, John Marks.
Yeah.
So John and I have had some conversations before, and I would always be of that nature of there's two types of artists in Nashville. There's the Broadway artist, and then there's the artists that don't touch Broadway.
Yeah.
And he opened my eyes to things that because that's the way I used to think. But I've had artists come through here that were Broadway artists, and they were not good here. Mm-hmm. And then I've had artists that obviously a lot of them play there. I have honed their skill there, and that's honed their craft rather. And that's pretty much what he taught me is like it's a great place to go, be in front of people,
yeah,
deal with drunk people, work with your band, and get a following.
Yeah, and that's exactly, like, that's how my mentality was kind of like what you thought at the beginning, then because yeah. I've kind of bounced around a little bit, but Tyler reminds me, because he's been with me, so he's like, Court, that's where you've got all your followers from.
I sure. mean,
besides our touring stuff.
But absolutely, but, dude, you think every night you play, it's a different crowd?
And those people are coming to hear country.
Yep.
Whether if I'm singing a Morgan Wallen song or not, I'll sing their songs, and then I'll add in my songs, you know, especially on a four-hour shift.
You're crazy.
One of the things, and I'm proud of it, is on Broadway, I think I have, like, the most original music out there out of anybody. And I'm getting some radio play around certain spots, which I'm proud of. But I mean, I'm over 50 songs or something released now, and a lot of those guys might have one or two.
Sure, you're right. You're right, that's fair. What's a cover that you just, when someone comes up and asks you to play, you're just like, nah, I'm not doing it?
Oh, geez. A lot of people ask me, like, a lot of people say Wagon Wheel, but that's, I'm fine with that one, because
right.
I define, but let's Dixieland Delight.
Oh.
It. I don't really sing it. I'm not, I don't dislike the song, but I don't sing it very good.
Sure.
So I'm always trying to pass it on to somebody else to sing it.
That's pretty funny. If I ever owned my own club, I think what I would put on this, like the walk up to the stage, I would say, unless you're Garth Brooks, no friends in low places. Yeah. I think that's the one that I hear the most here. Yeah. And it's, but the crowd loves it. You know, I think that's just like one of those things, but that's pretty damn funny.
Easy words to remember, and they feel like they're part of something. You know?
And yeah. It's iconic, dude. That song is iconic, mm-hmm. Which I think is badass, man. Super badass. Do you write your own music?
Yeah.
Did you write at home in like Washington, or did you start writing when you got to Nashville?
So I got introduced in Washington, but then when I got to Nashville, it kind of really opened my eyes. I mean, that's, people are there to just a songwrite.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a different game when you get out there, just with all the
different breed.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of the songs that I've released are co-written by me, but I also find songs that aren't written by me. Some of my new album has Ashley Gorley, Dan and Shay, Jimmy Robbins, Ryan Hurd, like all those guys have songs on my album that weren't cut by other people, and I picked them up. So
sure.
I'm making my own, and I'm proud of them. So
that's pretty neat, man. I used to always ask the question of like your first trip to Nashville, when you sit down in a co-write, it's like a damn first date, because you have no idea what you're getting into.
It still is awkward sometimes, yeah. Like, because you don't want to say something that other people think are dumb,
right.
Stupid,
or your most personal feelings.
Yeah, true.
I've been in music a long time, and I used to always say the lead singer's fucked up, has to be fucked up, because you're going out there and you're telling your story with your fingers crossed that people are going to relate and appreciate you.
Yeah.
So kudos true. To you for that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I don't think it's something I can do. I can get out and give shit away and announce a band. I can do all that kind of stuff, you know, and do this, because I'm pretty much hidden. There's no cameras in here or anything. But the end of the day is, that's really difficult, in hopes that someone's really going to like be keen to what you're saying and doing and feeling. And
yeah. Yeah, and that's part of the process of me picking other people's songs. I'm like, I gotta feel it. I don't just
relate, right?
I don't just record like, oh, that sounds like a good one. You know, I wanna feel it myself, and I have to make sure, I have to know, like, Toad, you're gonna feel this one too.
Sure, yeah, it's gotta come across that way. Let's have some fun. If I gave you $5 million, and you get to pick the venue and five artists to play with, I haven't done this in a while, including yourself, you're playing the show. So give me four other artists that you would love to go on the road. Money is not an object, and where are we playing it? I'm gonna guess you're going to go to the Gorge.
Going to go to the Gorge, but Stoney's might be a quick second.
Ha ha, no, get out of here.
I love
dude.
This place. Gorge, just because it's the home state.
Sure.
Red Rocks, of course, that would be really cool.
Oof. Have you seen a show there?
No, I haven't.
So I've been there three times, never seen a show.
Really?
Yeah. I'm waiting for... I almost went out because Randall King played there. I was so close to just... Burris, his manager, was like, if you want, just let me know, dude. And it's like, yeah. I want to go out there with an artist that is like so stoked to play there. And
yeah.
And like,
that'd be a dream, man.
Maybe their first or second time. Okay, let's go back to your list. So we're gonna say the Gorge, or we're gonna say Red Rock, and give me some artists you'd love to have on there.
You know, I love Dirks.
Yeah,
he's one of my favorites. If we're talking about, you know, like the big dogs,
like just people that you would like to share a stage with, like as your, doesn't even have to be country all the way.
Okay, if it wasn't all, I'm a big fan of Imagine Dragons.
Yeah,
and I don't.
They're from here.
I really.
Yeah,
love those guys. George Strait, obviously, he's the king. He's a big inspiration in my music, just lyrically, I think.
Right.
We did open for Blake once, and I do think a lot of people can. Pair some of my songs to his kind of like style,
right? Yeah, okay.
Fun, but he also can get sad, and you know, so he would be on it. And
it's kind of a huge show.
Yeah, it's
how
a
much
big
are
one.
Tickets? give me someone youthful, someone that's new to country or newer to country that's not a banger, someone that you like, that you champion in a sense, or that you are digging on.
Let's see here. It's there's so many names that are at the tip of my tongue, but I can't process this. Keep giving me another question why I'm getting this one.
No, man, I'm going to wait.
Well, you know, someone that I really that we wrote once together, but Alexandra Kay,
yeah,
she was just in here. You said,
yeah,
and I've been watching her videos, and she her energy.
There's something about her.
Love to tour with her, like because she's positive. She's so positive, and I like surrounding myself around like positive people.
I love telling the story. So I had never met her before. I had never met her manager Beth before, and Beth and I during soundcheck. Standing on the side, the sound check came over. Alexander came off the stage, didn't know who I was, walked up to Beth and said, I think I need to change my set. And Beth's like, why? She goes, well, I was watching the socials last night, and like their stories, there's a DJ and the line dance and there's go-go girls. And I looked at her and said, hi, I'm Toad. And she goes, oh my God, give me a big hug, everything. She's like, that's what she told me. She's been trying to get in here forever, blah, blah. I said, here's the deal, sweetheart. Play your show. Don't change. Don't ever, ever, ever change. You can't do that. That's just not right. That's not, like you're here doing your music for you. This isn't a, I mean, we are no different than Broadway here. Mm-hmm. We're not. You go down the strip, any casino you go into, there's four lounges and every one of them's got sure. someone just as good as true. Someone on Broadway. Like they're just solid musicians. In her set, about halfway through her set, she played her song Everleave. And right before she played it, I was standing on the side. And my daughter just happened to be out that night. And she was standing on the side of the stage with me. And Alexander just went through this whole thing about how I told her just to play her music. And she's like, we need more people like you in this world. More people like you in this world. And I was just like, man, this is what it's all about for me. Because the end of the day is you get to find these new artists and watch them grow. And
yeah.
like you saw how happy I was with Russell. But this is the way I work. Get Russell to where he needs to be in this market. And I want to go to the... back to the start again, find another artist and do the same thing with them. We're doing it with Sam Groh in this market right now.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We find them, we figure out how the hell can we make them more popular here because they're not on radio.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
Yeah, that's it. And just what you just said is just like, it gives me goosebumps as an artist just because there's like people like you out there who are pushing the originals.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, like you said, oh, we want to hear Wagon Wheeler, Wallin, or... we'll turn on, you go to the concert or go turn on Spotify, but like we
sure.
want to share our music. And that's just really cool. That
it's fun because you get to watch an artist just do their thing and be, I want you to always be prideful of your music. I mean, that's what you're not doing it to play someone else's song.
Sure.
That's not why you're in the music business. Yeah. And that's kind of like my favorite thing. Let's talk off time, dude. What's like your favorite thing to do on the off time?
Well, really quick, one more to the lineup
yes, sir.
Is Old Dominion. Oh, be added to that.
Dude, those guys are unreal. Like, you really think about their story writing. And then I just saw them up at Country Fan Fest a couple years ago in Utah. And they, middle of their set, they just stop. The three of them come out, sit on a stool. Hey, we wrote this one. It goes like this. And you're just yeah. like, holy shit balls. Like, what yeah. didn't they write?
Yeah,
sort of
exactly.
thing.
So.
Off time. What's your favorite thing to do?
Well, I got a two and a half year old now. So
boy or girl?
Boy. His name's Lux. My wife, Kelly, at home. And we... anything we like to try to take him
sure.
places, obviously, but I do love going to the movies.
Wow,
so I'm a movie guy.
Okay,
but since COVID, I used to go to 3 or 4 a week.
No way.
By myself, like because I was a musician, I had a musician schedule, and my wife would be working before a kid, and I'd be like, all right, at lunchtime, I'm heading down and popping in and go to the movies. So I love going to movies. I do love to play slot machines, though.
You really love playing slot
I love
machines.
Them,
yeah. Do you come with a budget?
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah. Hopefully one day it'll be a little bigger budget. But.
No, those places aren't beautiful because you win, my friend.
I know.
I always tell people that. When you're standing there and you feel like you're doing something good, just look up.
Yeah.
Because that place is not as gorgeous as it is because
true.
You win. Because
true.
They can't build that if you win.
It's the fantasy of, oh, I'm going to win that million this time. I told my dad when we were coming, this is the time.
It's the mega bucks. I'll play mega bucks like 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
That's it. And you just like sit back and go, Jesus, wouldn't that be nice? Ugh. And you dream. And then... we don't have a lottery here, but like we'll drive to state line if the lottery or someone will drive to state line. Everyone throws money at them. We're like, we're gonna split it, blah, you know. And then you start counting. You literally start counting. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna do yeah. that. I'm gonna fucking disappear. Like all kinds of stuff, and it doesn't ever work.
I think it was 2020 or 19 that it was a huge pot, and I remember like I was reading a book called The Secret, which is like positive thing.
I know that book.
I thought yeah. I was gonna win. The
you're problem. Manifesting
yeah,
that
oh,
shit.
Yeah. I was like, this is it. This is it.
I read that book years ago, and my not the house I'm in now, but the last house before that. That's like I was reading that book, and it's like you manifest this stuff and live as if, right?
Yeah.
So I bought a bigger house, extra bedrooms, all this other kind of shit. I met somebody, but it didn't work out. But it's like one of those things where you sit back and just go, I mean, I believe in that. I mean,
yeah.
The power of positive thinking is ridiculous. It really
yeah.
is. It really is.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll forget, like, because I try to apply that as much as I can, but you need a refresher sometimes, you know, because sometimes you can get in a rut and you're just forget about that stuff.
I was blessed enough to probably about 20 something years ago, I met a lady by the name of Robin, and we met in a networking group, and she started a life coaching business. In a sense, I guess that's what it's pretty much is. They tear you down and they bring you back. And I went through her a little bit of her program and learned a lot. She's still my friend today. And I just ran into her last week and we ended up talking for about an hour and a half in one of the casinos. Not gaming, not gambling at all. But we went to a book signing thing. And when we left, we just started talking about stuff. And she is a refresher, like makes you rethink stuff. She said something to me. I have a son, and his mom literally dropped him off on my porch and said, I can't do this anymore. And I said, I didn't have a choice. And she looked at me, she goes, you did have a choice. And I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
I did. I could have said no.
Wow.
But you just do what you do, right?
Yep.
That's kind of the same thing. She taught me something else, too, that I live by. And this was just last week, and it makes me smile every time. She says, nothing happens to you. Nothing. Things happen for you.
Wow.
And I've learned a lot from all that, man. Yeah. Just in the last week, the light that it's like this shine of just because you rethink stuff, and that's the power of positive thinking.
Totally true.
Did you grew up fishing with your dad? Because so, dad's here.
My dad made the trip down. He's him and my mom are my biggest fans, obviously, but always have been. And I have an older brother at home, but my brother and him were the big fishermen because I was always tied into sports or you know, whatever. As were they, but they're the big fishermen. I can't take claim on that.
So did you fish with your dad growing up? Just a little bit. Nothing. I mean, he showed me some big ass halibuts tonight. Yeah. Jesus,
Salmon fishing, steelhead fishing. Yeah. But I mean, my brother's actually kind of known in the Northwest as being
the dude.
He's got a name up there, and
it's crazy.
My dad also is a great fisherman, but I wish I had their skills. But I did definitely like going home and spending time with them.
That's pretty neat. Your dad's a neat guy, and it was just his birthday.
January 19th.
I'm going to do something fun tonight. I'll go up before you go on. I'll give some stuff away, but I'm going to drag his ass out there, and I'm going to have him give the tickets away for what I'm giving away tonight.
Okay.
But then I'm going to make the crowd sing him happy birthday. So I think that'll be fun.
He'll love that.
I think he's a nice guy. I love the fact he was like, I'm going to pay for my own dinner. I was like, well, then you're not going. I think that's fair, right?
He before we came out, he's like, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes.
Sure.
He just likes to be around the gang, you know.
Dude, it's neat. I mean, it's neat that your dad can do that stuff with you.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets to watch your dream, you know.
Yeah. And lucky enough, I was able to get an extra day with him because he lives in Washington. I live in Tennessee, and I see him on holidays. But my mom said, why don't you fly down and spend a day, guy's day, with your son?
So rad.
And I was like, yeah, you never – not to be morbid, but –
You never know.
You got to spend as much time as you can.
Tomorrow may never come, man. Yep.
For any of either of us, you know.
I laugh because my mom just retired, CPA. She retired the end of last year, and when she told me, I guess I wasn't excited enough. I mean, I guess that's the goal, but I don't know. And she was like, she still teases me all the time about it today, and she's like, you know, you're just like, right on, mom. And I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, I think that's neat. You watch someone work their ass off to the point where they can. Most people can't retire. In this world we live in, they just can't.
Yeah.
Let's go back home to Nashville. What's your favorite go-to place to go eat there?
So I love Mexican food.
Right.
It's one of my faves. There's a place called Uncle Julio's. It's one of my favorite spots. It's in Brentwood, if you know.
Okay, yep, I know where Brentwood is. Yeah.
Downtown Nashville. I love
Rich
Jeff
people.
Ruby's. Yeah, it's true. Have you ever been to Jeff Ruby's?
What's the three-story one down there? The one that's open all night long. The one that's open late. It's down off of Broadway. I've seen Jeff Ruby's before.
Yeah, it's a couple streets over, but it's a fancy steakhouse. It's,
okay.
But
I ain't rich. No, I ain't been there.
Yeah. Next time you come to Nashville, I'll take you there.
Beautiful. I'm going to hold you to that.
Let's do it. But yeah, I love that place. Oak is another good one we like eating at. But to be honest with you, there's so many restaurants that are popping up
night and day,
every
right?
week.
Yeah.
And you're like... How is anyone staying in business? Because there's too many.
Yeah, but there's so many people that travel there now, right?
True, yeah.
It's probably been a little less than a year, I think, since I've been there. And I used to go at least once a month. I was there pre-COVID. I was there all the time because I was literally scouting bands. So what I do right now is on Mondays I watch Whiskey Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on my couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, put my AirPod in and... I listen. That's how I file on a band. Don't tell anybody. That's my secret. But it's a great way because there's a lot of like Ward does a badass job with these artists rolling through
Ward's there. Ward's the man, and he's built that thing up just to be a really cool event.
And what do you think of the move?
So originally, people were, I mean, mid losers is it's like that's the famous spot. However, as a singer, I haven't performed at the new spot for Whiskey Jam yet, but the old spot, the sound was tough as a singer.
Yeah.
Just because
it's monitor, raw as shit.
Yeah,
dude.
I mean, you just get thrown up there, and singers usually are kind of diva-ish, and you're like, oh, I need reverb, I need more of this and this. But the new place has in-ears you can use. You can use your tracks. You can use whatever you need to use, and it's just dialed in a little more.
A little bit different.
Sound. Yeah.
So you like the move?
I haven't. I'm hopefully playing it
soon.
But
sorry, you like the idea of the move.
I like the idea. Yeah. I like the idea. But you can never beat, like, what it started as.
No. I've been to a fair amount of the ones inside. I've been to a couple of the ones outside, and it's pretty neat. It's I think moving it kind of like freaked me out a little bit because it just seems like a play that you get a different audience too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't know. I thought Whiskey Jam was always rad because you had to get there earlier. You had to know someone to get in there.
Yeah.
And now it just seems like it's a little bit bigger room and a lot more tourists and.
Yeah, and then in the old spot there, it started to get like more people were finding out about it on social media, so you'd see more bachelorettes kind of filtering.
Yeah, working their way.
Yeah. So it's definitely different, but sound wise, I think it's cool.
What's your go to bar in Nashville? To kick it.
To kick it.
Like to go network.
I would have to say, Red Door is always a spot. I mean, I don't go as often as I should probably, but
I tell people all the time that if you're like Tuesday, Wednesday and you're in town, just go out on that little patio on the outside and just sit there for about 2 hours. Guaranteed to see somebody.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. Any of those spots on Demumbrian, those are all kind of cool hangs if you're just hanging.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen quite a few people. Tyler Farr hangs out down there. My buddy Stevie Montz was living there. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
He was there for a while, but I think he's down in Florida now. I like to mess with that kid. He's so funny. He'll ask to come play here. He hasn't played here, God, since probably pre-COVID, but we used to fly him out to come do shows here. We're just a different environment. The acoustic stuff doesn't work very well here because you'll see they want to dance. They want to listen to music and keep moving and everything like that, which is rad.
Yeah. Yeah, what an incredible venue this is. And I'm not
it's a neat
that.
Place,
it's,
man.
It's really cool.
It's a fun place. What are your goals for 24?
Just, I'll probably be working on another album. I really
what do you say album, like full 13?
I had 10 song, I think EPs that cut a 7 or something, whatever. I had a 10 song, 10 tracks come out last year. But now I want to, keep the momentum going.
Right.
The main goal, though, man, is I want to get an opportunity on opening for a tour somewhere.
Sure. Get on the road.
And that's tough when you're not signed.
Do you want a deal?
I think I do.
Yeah.
But like you hear horror stories as well. So I just want to be heard. I want my music to be heard.
That's right.
Whether it's a deal or not. And just get some opportunities I feel that we've earned and should, get a chance to open for some of these guys. But if
I hope you get it. I hope you get it, man. That would be badass.
Yeah. So, and just keep plugging along. Just stay healthy.
Yeah. That too, right?
Yeah.
This world, I don't know if you can. Yeah. Let's talk Super Bowl fun, man. Got some games this weekend.
Yep.
Are you a pro football fan?
Yeah. I'm a big Seahawk fan.
You are? Okay. Well, you're fucked. I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm fucked too. We'll just leave that alone. Yeah. So, are you going San Fran? What is it? San Fran and Detroit, right? And it's the Ravens and the Chiefs?
So, I like Detroit. I don't like San Francisco because they're Seattle's rival.
Sure.
So, like, you got to root against them.
And their fans suck, too.
But Detroit, they just got a cool story.
Great story.
And I like their coach. He was a player when they were real shitty.
Yeah.
And he's brought them back. When it comes to Chiefs and Ravens.
It's a tough one, dude.
I like the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie. I like Mahomes and Kelsey connection. That's always fun to watch. But the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, he's sick.
He's unreal.
Yeah.
Louisville kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more of a college football fan. I'm an Eagles fan. I don't know what happened to the Eagles. I don't even have a story. Like, I think I have their socks on right now, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't get it. I don't know what happened. I did see something online. I was showing it to a friend of mine today that Vancouver Island put out a story. I don't know if you saw it, and they it's really easy for me to get to. I want you to see this. Because they already told us who was going to be at the Super Bowl via this thing.
The coloring?
No. Read that.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Did you read that? And
yes.
They're like,
I didn't know if it was superimposed on there or is actually.
I don't know. I saw that and was like, get the hell out of here, because it basically says San Francisco's playing the Ravens, right?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if the
and the colors and everything. Oh, I mean, man. You know what would suck if that's really the case and that's what happened, that they could buy that kind of thing. That would totally suck.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it would. Because football is just fun to watch. And if, I mean, I won't. I would say that some calls are probably definitely, hey, come on, let's make this a little closer for.
That's a Chiefs thing. That's a Chiefs thing. I think if it's Mahomes, they cry every freaking time, man.
True.
I don't know. I'm like, I put a little poll up on my page, and I said, you know, my Eagles are out. Who should I root for? And everybody that's an Eagles fan said Detroit. Every single one of them. Nobody said San Fran. No, I got like two Chiefs and. Couple Ravens, but the majority of everything was Detroit.
Yeah.
And their story is neat. That's Goff, right?
Yeah, Goff.
Yeah.
Just, they've been so bad for so long, and it's just like, it's cool to see.
It's neat because I remember when Goff played, Cal Berkeley is where he played, and I'm a Nebraska fan, so I would go watch these games, and I don't think Goff was there when Nebraska played him, but I went up to Berkeley and watched the game, and their colors are blue and gold.
Uh-huh.
The town was red. Like, Nebraska came deep.
Wow.
Deep, deep. It was pretty badass, man. But we whooped the shit out of them, but not anymore. I don't think we could win a game anymore. It just sucks. Just totally sucks. I just I saw that Harbaugh left college and went to the Chargers, which is.
So I never was a fan of Harbaugh because he was a San Fran guy and rival him. But he's a great coach.
Yeah. See, I'm going to go ahead and be a jerk and tell you that I don't like Pete Carroll at all.
Yeah.
I don't.
You
I don't like
him or you don't.
I don't like him because of USC and you know, the whole college football scandal and losing a Heisman and everything. It's just sad. It's just sad that everyone says, well, every coach does it. I'm like, well, you can say that, but not every coach got caught.
Yeah, true.
I guess it's the fair way to say it. Dude, this has been fun, man. Tell people how to find you online.
I would love it if you would go on to our Spotify, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, just look under my name, Court, C-O-R-T, Carpenter, and it'll pop up somewhere on there.
Do you do the TikToks?
So I'm not doing the dances on TikTok, but I do upload content on there.
Yeah? How does that work for you?
I need to be doing more of it.
Yeah.
Apparently you have to do it like 6 times a day for it to...
You think that's what the industry looks for, is someone that's...
A lot of people are saying that if you got a big TikTok following, you're getting signed, and Tyler knows people that are getting called in from their TikTok followings. They never sang live one time. They're getting rehearsals with these labels, and they're like, hey, bring in a band, and they're not even singing in the right key. It's just crazy, man. And that's the kind of shit that really makes a guy mad, because you're like, you've been doing it for over a decade, grinding, and these guys are get a viral thing, and bam, there. So
I remember Lily Rose was in here, and she was saying that she was working at a golf course. And her song Villain went viral. She's different than the story you're telling, because she can actually sing.
Yeah, yeah. There's no but taken away from anyone that makes
I just freaked out, because she was like, one day she's working at a golf store or golf course, and the next day she's having lunch with the people she was serving. And she told me the story of how she went and said, these people were asking, were we nice to you? That's sad to me.
Yeah.
You know, the end of the day is just be nice, man. Just be a good person. Also, the other side to all this is, like, you look at a guy like Spencer Crandall, and you look at Alexander Kay, who are crushing it as independents, although Alexander's been signed before, I believe. But where they're at today, it's like Spencer was telling me, like, he would go into these places and labels. And it's like almost like he did too much.
Really?
Yeah, he just had that feeling of, like, even look at, like, Cody Johnson of the world. I mean, he would walk into these places and they'd promise him all this shit. And he's like, I already have that.
Yeah.
What can you do for me? What can you, like, literally do for me? That, like, Alexander Kay is an anomaly, man. She's got 2+ million followers on Facebook. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, she's been grinding for so long, which is super cool. But to be able to do it as an independent, I always tell an artist, man, just my mindset is I don't really think you need the big machine. Believe in yourself and just keep going, dude.
Once you get to that level, I think just there's no need for it. You're like, keep doing your thing.
Yeah, Spencer told me he bought a house from his Spotify stuff, and you just sit back and, like, in his grinding. I mean, dude, Alexander Kay sold 25,000 tickets last year.
Yeah,
as an independent artist.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's amazing, and
I think you need to be more goofy on TikTok.
Maybe so. My wife always says that, you know.
She does.
And there's don't take away anything from those people.
No, it's content.
And I'm not saying you were. If I came off like that, because like, it's you're jealous of them because you're like, oh, I want to do that, you know. But it's just like, it sucks when you've been doing it for so long, and some of these people have never played a show in their life, and I've got 3,000 or 4,000 shows under my belt over the decade,
the course of your life,
just
right?
Like, so,
sucks.
Yeah.
What about, I'm going to ask you one more question. What about one of these, like The Voice or American Idol? Is that something you'd ever do?
So I tried out to do The Voice in Memphis. They called me up one time, said, come to this Memphis tryout. And I think I sang a Josh Turner song or something. I don't know what I sang, but Tyler went out there with me and we didn't make it through. Looking back, I laugh because I'm like, I wouldn't have never done the songs I did. I don't know why, but.
Sure.
I don't know. And I was a little nervous in there, too.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Yeah. They're just sitting there, and they're staring at you from you to me, and you're right. Just kind of singing a cappella, and you're hoping you hit
the Am I any good at this shit?
Yeah.
All these years going to pay
off. And
they're
writing notes, so.
Right.
Do you have time for one more story?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I tried out for another show like that, and they were looking for a boy band in California. This was before I started, like, really getting into it.
I love it. And BTS.
And they were looking for 4 people, one with the lower voice, blah, 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 blah. So I went down to this tryout, and you had to have 2 songs prepared. And I did a Josh Turner song or something because I have a lower voice when I sing sometimes. And the other part of it is you had to dance to one of their shows and songs. So somewhere out there, Toad, there is a video recording of me dancing to I'm Sexy and I Know It.
Is that Right Said Fred?
No, it's the... I'm Sexy and I Know It.
Who sang it? How was that?
Oh God.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you've heard it a million times, but and I just think, what the hell was I thinking? But like, I was trying, you know, I was trying to get somewhere. And
I like to tell this and ask this. Like, there's a lot of artists out there that they take their music that they did in the very beginning on Spotify and they pull it.
Yep.
I don't like that. And the reason why I don't like that is because it should make you want to go back and see where you came from, as well as your fan base.
True.
Dude, you used to suck, or dude, that song is rad, or dude, you know, whatever the case may be. But yeah. I think that that stuff should be forced out there. At the end of the day is you can't, anyone who would hate on you for doing that. I mean, look at Morgan Wallen when he was on The Voice. Yeah. Dude, he was the goofiest looking kid you ever saw. And now he's like a monster, but ain't no one hating on him for it.
No.
You know, he was trying to do what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Just got to give it your shot. Like Jordan always says, you miss all the shots you don't take or
that's
something.
It.
But.
Well, let's have fun. I go back and listen to the first one of these I did, and I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Even when I first started doing country AF radio, and I would do my liners, and I'm just like, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, now I'm just like, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother me. I think about one of the first times I ever stood on a stage and announced a show that I put together.
Yeah.
I used to have to drink a lot of vodka.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking.
It is. I don't know how you do it, but thanks for doing it, man.
Hey. I love it, and I love that you invited us out, so thank you, man.
Don't quit. This has been fun.
Right. Thanks, Toad. 'Cause you shine.